Welcome back to another episode of Hops and Handshakes. We are on site at City Built Brewing Company. Very good stuff here. I am here with my friend, good buddy, Dante. Dante, thanks for sitting down with us, man.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Appreciate the invite. Hey, absolutely. So to kick off episode 9, let's learn about Dante. Mm-hmm. So Dante, take it away. Tell us who you are, what you stand for, all that good stuff.
Perfect. Well, thank you, and thank you again for the invite.
Absolutely.
Currently, my current role, or the current version of Dante, is the Vice President for Business Services at the Grand Rapids Area Chamber of Commerce. I've been doing this for about 3 months.
Sure.
Most folks, however, know me as the Regional Director for the Small Business Development Center, which I've been a part of for 16 years up until coming to the Chamber. And in that role, I had a great opportunity to work with many entrepreneurs here in town and assist them in starting, launching, and growing their small businesses.
Nice.
So that's kind of what I do during the day. On the personal end, I'm married with a beautiful daughter and a two-year-old son, a toddler.
Nice.
Which keeps me busy.
I can imagine.
And then one of my passions is... horses. I have a little horse farm in Byron Center that get to train, ride, and show Pasadena horses.
Okay, and you have quite a few of them, don't you?
We do. We have several horses that were just part of our extended family and that we enjoy on the trails, trail riding, but also taking them to show here or there or doing like an exhibition around town and showing them off a little.
Okay, nice, man. So go back. Yeah, you talked about you've had a couple different capacities now. Mm-hmm. Now it's with the local chamber here, but you have immersed yourself with entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Why?
Yep. So the big reason is I early on in my career I understood that any type of real economic advancement happens really when somebody decides to fill a need in the marketplace.
Create
a disruption that's gonna bring in the new or a new product or service to the marketplace, and that's always excited me. And then that kind of really was aligned with my real passion, and that is working with the underserved or marginalized communities. The minority communities.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And I've always understood that in order to have social prosperity, you need economic prosperity as well.
Okay.
So in any neighborhood that we talk about and we try to look at how can we improve the neighborhood or how can we better support the neighborhood, well, one way is if we help those residents start and grow businesses. Those that start and grow a business are more likely to hire within that neighborhood.
Absolutely.
When it's a minority or women-owned firm, the studies show that they're more likely to hire other minorities and other women into their practices or their businesses. So it's really been a passion of mine that I've been fortunate enough to been able to support under the Small Business Development Center role. But now here at the chamber, it's even amplified. I'm directly responsible for several programs that are directed towards minority and women business owners and how to move them forward. So that's exciting for me.
Okay, that's awesome. So but the foundation of it all is a purely organic growth.
Absolutely.
It is currently nothing's happening right in this little segment mm-hmm. that you pick, yeah. and then. Through effort, through partnerships, mm-hmm. through relationships, yep. through just pure...
Through connections. It's really...
All that stuff that mm-hmm. you're able to help them facilitate.
Absolutely.
We can turn nothing into something.
Absolutely. Most entrepreneurs will... And this is something that I think everybody needs to understand is you have to bring something to the table. As an entrepreneur, today it's pretty cool to be an entrepreneur. You're an entrepreneur and we have many entrepreneurs here in town.
It's not as sexy as people make it up.
It's not as sexy. You know, I was talking with Edwin here from City Built Brewery, one of the co-owners who just started about a month ago.
This is great,
establishment.
By the way.
Yeah, great, mm-hmm. great drinks. So of course, it's many, many hours, many weekends, a lot of sleepless nights, of course. But in the end, here's an excellent establishment that just shows you, wow, now you've moved the needle for.
Oh, but it looks easy, man. All this, I mean, all you gotta do is make a beer and buy a few tables and then paint that stuff. It's there's nothing to it.
And the idea becomes even more romanticized as we hear all the success stories, which we do have a lot of success stories here in town. But behind every success story, there's typically two or more failures. Entrepreneurs have started.
More than that.
They failed and hopefully failed quickly and got back up and onto the next thing and to the third thing and the fourth until finally they find their niche, right?
Sure.
That's, you know, the chances of success are always increased when you bring something to the table, meaning you're good at something already. You know, if I wanted to start a brewery, it failed because I know nothing about brewery and it's not my passion, right?
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
So an entrepreneur needs to bring their passion, their hard work, and the dedication.
But there's got to be a talent there too.
Absolutely. There has to be an understanding of what makes you special, what you bring to the table. The cool thing is that if you do bring that, there's a lot of supportive services here in town that will help you with the other stuff. So understanding how to market the business, understanding how to finance it, understanding how to operate, cash flow, even how to build your team, your staff, and so on. You know, the Chamber, along with many other organizations in town like Start Garden and the Small Business Development Center, we're here to really support the entrepreneur and make sure that it's not those pieces that limit your success. So, and that's exciting about Grand Rapids is that
it's a great place to be for
it's a great place to start a business.
It's about as good as it gets.
Absolutely, absolutely. Not only do we have the supportive resources, but more importantly, I think we have the market.
Mm-hmm.
We have the market that really allows new ideas and new products and services to give it a shot.
Yeah,
put it out there and see what happens. So, the other cool thing about our community is that more and more, Isaac, I see the being afraid of failure is less and less an obstacle. There's more people willing to give it a shot,
really,
and to fail, and that's okay. You're not outcast if you started and failed in a business. On the contrary, I think the environment now is one that, while you're on your third business now, that's great. You know, this one will make it a go.
It's great.
Yeah.
You kept going.
Exactly. That's
not
that's
congratulations. Exactly. You bit the dust twice.
Actually,
as you got back up, because actually the statistics are not good on the first business.
Absolutely.
They're 90% failure rate in the first five years.
Yep.
First 5 years, maybe, or five year, or whatever that is.
Yep.
But if you dust yourself off and go back up, and go back and try like a legit second business, your numbers go up dramatically.
Absolutely.
I think it's within that 5 years, that next 5 years or something like that, I think the success rate is over half, upwards of 80%.
You know, lessons learned. You're going to bring a wealth of experience of what you missed on the first try, whether that was your own doing or the market conditions or whatever caused the business not to come to fruition.
Oh, it's always your own fault, in my opinion. Whether the market was there or not, it's always your own fault.
Yeah.
But that's awesome, man. So I want to go back to this principle because I want to hit on this. Mm-hmm. And like my background, my undergrad, and still a lot of my interest has been in just, you know, stocks and just the whole market and, you know, as a finance and accounting undergrad and all. But then I kind of struggled a little bit, and that's still a fun game to me to play and all that kind of stuff, but I kind of struggled a bit in areas where I felt that there was a zero-sum game.
Mm-hmm.
What I mean, like, look, I might be able to buy that stock at 18, it goes to 25, and then sell it, whatever. But there's somebody on the loose. I don't know if I've done anything to help create, unless you do the, you know, big company dividend strategy and you're for years and years to come, and you're growing with the company you own that. All right, so. But what is so cool, and touch on this, what is so cool is just watching, turning nothing into something, just with your brain, equity, your sweat equity, you know, all that kind of stuff like that. And it's something that I didn't actually understand that fascinated me that much. I always knew it. I always talked around it until I'm literally, you know, talking to my wife about all this stuff. My brain never stops. Mm-hmm. God bless her for listening to all this stuff all the time. But it's always going.
Mm-hmm.
And she just looks at me very simply at dinner like 3 weeks ago. She goes, you need to write a book called Grow. She goes, I don't know how you do it. She goes, whatever, but just grow. That's what you like, that grow. Mm-hmm. And I'm hearing the same thing from you, is like just we can give you the resources, we want that, but if you've got the gumption, you got the passion, and you want prosperity in that area, like, I can't just gift it all to you. We've got to grow from the grassroots in there.
Absolutely, absolutely. And at the end of the day, it's you, the entrepreneur, who's going to be in it.
Yeah.
You know, you're the entrepreneur who's going to, you know, be there till 10 at night and get ready for the next, you know, 7 a.m., you know, shift that comes in.
Yep.
You're the entrepreneur that has to go out there and make the sale. You're the entrepreneur that has to bring the right people to the table to get that project off the ground. And at the end of the day, you're right. You know, it is a lot of work, and it is a lot of, there's a lot of risk involved, but the reward is huge.
Sure.
You know, to be able to say that exists because what I did is huge.
Yeah.
Take this place again with Edwin Collazo and his partner. For him to be able to drive by and say, yeah, that corner of Grand Rapids, that's my corner.
It's because I decided to
you
do
know,
something.
That there. Is pretty cool. All the people that come in and out, all the activity that happens, all the laughs, all the good beers that are had there.
Sure.
That's
sure.
me.
Exactly. All the experiences for sure.
And that's cool. That's cool. And we do have a community here where that's exciting and that's applauded. That's,
sure.
That's celebrated. I love working at the chamber and seeing a business that's 130 years be very successful and have a lot of visibility, but also that business who's been around maybe 6 months and is now the talk of the town.
Sure.
And is now the, you know, the social media activity is through the roof, and so that's great.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because again, at the end of the day, everybody's looking to make their mark here in this town, and collectively I think that's what you know, when we look at the headlines that say, well, Grand Rapids number one here or number two here, or all this success that we have as a community, a lot of that has to do with our entrepreneurs that put it all on the table and built something out of nothing.
Absolutely.
You take this corridor here, North Monroe, a few years ago, very limited activity, economic activity. Today, it's booming.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you see
Absolutely.
Construction signs everywhere, and that's awesome. Those are businesses that have committed
Where do you live? Right over here?
Yeah.
Yeah. Alex from there.
Yeah.
Lives back there. Yeah, absolutely.
And Breastworks?
Boardwalk.
Okay,
Boardwalk,
yeah.
All summer I've been detouring roads.
Sure.
I mean,
there's
a new hotel going up right there.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Activity here is just through the roof. So really quickly, another area that I'm pretty passionate about is the construction trades and businesses that are in this industry, because right now there is a lot of activity here in town, and it's good to see projects being done, construction projects, because those are significant investments here in our town. But it's good to see when the projects have a pretty diverse supply base, have businesses from throughout our community, throughout the neighborhoods, ethnically diverse as well. Love to see women business owners in the construction trades as well, and that's when you really know, okay, so our community is moving forward, and there's a little bit for everybody.
Sure.
It's not just one specific group or demographic that has the value. It's kind of everyone that's in the mix. So
nice.
So that's pretty exciting also for me,
yeah.
Especially to see that via the lens of the chamber.
Oh yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah, there's so much good stuff going on, and it's one of those things where you can definitely tell you're passionate about it. How many entrepreneurs have you worked with?
So, good question.
Do you have an idea?
Yeah, so okay. I don't. When I left the Small Business Development Center in May, they tallied up like the economic impact that I had over the 16 years and so forth, and it was something like over 1,500 businesses that we had touch points with, and I think it was something over like 100 million in economic impact or capital infusion into their business, because part of our job was to help our clients secure funding to get their projects off the ground and so forth. So, and that's pretty neat, because at the end of the day, it's you want to make sure that you move the needle a little.
And
you want to feel good about the work you've been doing.
All right, you've worked with hundreds and hundreds of people, mm-hmm. the vast majority of entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. Give me the top three things that, call it the top 10% that you've worked with, mm-hmm. top 10% of the entrepreneur demographic you work with. What are the three things they have in common?
Oh, awesome. So let me rephrase that in a little bit.
Sure.
So when every time I would, towards the end of my career at the SBDC, every time I'd meet with an entrepreneur, within the first 30, 40 minutes, I would kind of know if they were going to succeed or not. Mm-hmm. And
it didn't take you that long, actually.
It didn't take me that long. But one way that, or there were three things that I would look for. If they were present, it was very likely that they were going to succeed. One of those, the first thing, was their passion. They had to live and breathe whatever it is they were doing. If they didn't live or breathe it, to me it was just a job. They had to live and breathe it and be excited about it. So they needed to bring that passion to the table.
Number one is the passion.
Passion. The second thing is they needed to have a game plan.
Okay.
I'm not gonna call it a business plan because that's not cool. It's just a game plan to understand why somebody buys, why does somebody write me a check?
Yes.
And understand that value proposition.
Yes.
And that game plan entails how to communicate the value, how to market yourself, but more than anything, just how to understand it. You didn't have to have the pieces together, but you need to understand why somebody's gonna come for you and buy the product, and so the value that you create.
So you had to somehow mentally reverse engineer why somebody would write you a check.
The why is very important.
Absolutely.
If you have the why, that's huge. And then the third thing.
So it's almost like we got the why in you as the entrepreneur, and then we gotta figure out the why in them of why they're going to exchange monetary funds for whatever you have to offer that you're so passionate about.
Because you can have the greatest product or service, but if somebody doesn't write you a check for it, that's called the hobby.
Yes.
Okay. If you have the passion and the service, but nobody writes a check, that's a hobby,
that's
right?
That's a hobby.
So the third thing, and all of these were equally important, but I found that the third thing was really what catapulted most successful entrepreneurs to that big next level. And that is surrounding yourself with the right people.
Oh.
That skill set.
It's the shortcut.
Yeah, and
there is one.
And it's easier said than done. It's easier to say, well, bring the right team together, bring the right people, the right partner. But this is probably the most difficult piece to it.
Absolutely.
Because your idea of the perfect people to bring in is very different than your partner's idea of the perfect people to win and that of your key employee and so on. So being able to bring in the right people.
And then manage all that.
And manage all that. Manage the expectations, the alignment of the expectations. Really to manage what everybody expects to put in and everybody expects to get out. So, but if I could tell that they were gonna succeed in these three areas, I didn't care what the product was. I didn't care what the industry of the, I had somebody in 2000, I remember like yesterday, 2008 came to me, they were downsized, that's when the economy went bad, and said, you know what, I wanna build houses. And I said, you do realize that the housing market has come to a complete halt?
Yes.
He says, yes, but I think I can do it better. And I could tell that he had the right people in place and had a game plan. And I said, do it. We're going to succeed. And very successful.
Awesome. So, which is, if you have it, if you've got those three, 2008 is a perfect time.
Perfect
starting
time.
A business.
Today, he's about 3 to 5 million in sales every year and just booming.
Builds a nice quality product. Keeps it okay.
Yeah. So if you have those three things, again, the passion, a game plan, and the ability to bring in the right people.
Yeah.
You're ahead of the ball curve.
If you have those three things, you, the passion and the grit, man, you actually want to start. You actually want a downturn.
Yeah. You want,
because the downturn clears out the idiots that shouldn't have been there.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It clears out the ones that have been faking it, but it's been good and that kind of stuff like that. You actually, and that's scary for people to say, but as an entrepreneur, like you kind of want everybody re-looking at things if you do have a better version of what you're doing.
Yep.
That's awesome. So I break it down to passion, you know, and then can the, we'll do three P's. We got, we got, first of all, you got to have a passion. Second of all, is somebody willing to pay for this passion?
Yeah.
And then a third, do you have the people surround you so you can execute on said passion?
Love that. Three P's.
Okay. Yep. There you go. There you go.
We'll put trademark.
We'll do that. We'll, we can... After effect. This is the after effects motion.
That's right.
I have a different one every time we do this. I've done this and put something here, but no.
Yeah.
I have three P's. No, that's awesome. All right. Being an entrepreneur and being around so many entrepreneurs can teach you so much about life, who you are. What I describe it to people is punting on the safe jobs, that well-paying, nice jobs, whatever, like that was much easier.
Job security,
or whatever that stuff is. One of the first things, just being honest with myself, there's my accountant, hi. being honest with myself, it took whatever I wasn't very good at, and it put it like right here, like right front and center, right? Like, okay. Like, all, like, see, these, the things that I'm naturally better at and that I was successful at, like, that kept going and that kept like fueling the fire.
Mm-hmm.
But it was this stuff that was kind of, that you could block it a little bit when you're in a corporate job or when you're doing a job like that. But then, like, it takes all, but being an entrepreneur takes all.
Yeah.
So, what are those, like, if I could, any age, if I'm, maybe I'm 52 years old and I'm in a job and I still want to progress a little bit more, I still want to have, you know, I told myself that I would learn one thing a month and apply it in my life. For anybody, what could they take, you know, what is one monumental lesson that you could take from, that they can take from you and what your experiences have been?
So for me is putting yourself in other people's shoes. So if you're that person that you've had that corporate job or that, you know, cool mid-sized company that, and you're that middle manager, upper, and you're in that comfortable setting, you're not really challenging yourself. You're not really, or stretching yourself. And if you're comfortable right now, that's a scary spot to be in.
That might be okay for you.
Yeah, it might be okay.
But if you're... Yeah. If you're listening and saying that if I'm not happy right now, for this message, if I'm not happy right now, then, and I feel comfortable, then
that's
then this is where we're, okay.
That's a problem. So, for example, if in your role, in your job, or wherever you're in your career, you've always done that, you've kind of found your niche, but you've always had an inkling for something else, put yourself in somebody else's shoes. And that can happen several ways. You can travel to another place and, you know, learn from what other people, how other people do it. I hate that somehow we've thought that an apprenticeship or a job shadowing only happens in our younger years or early in our careers. I wish it could happen, you know, when we're 50 as well, 60, because you're never too late to get yourself exposed to something else and see if that's something that might stir a fire inside you, that might stretch you a little to feel, wow, this is exciting, a little scary, but exciting at the same time. If you don't have at least once a year an opportunity to view the world from a different lens, you're missing out.
You're missing out.
Yeah, you're missing out on a lot.
Especially if you're supposed to figure out what that person's,
absolutely,
what motivates that person, and you have no idea to disconnect. No, I think it's a very sad thing when I talk to people that are not millennials or they're a little bit older, and they say in response, well, 25 years ago when I went to college, I studied this, so I can't do that. I'm like, the opportunity to learn. I mean, honestly, you don't have to even pay a dime.
Yeah.
If you have internet access,
absolutely,
at a local cafe, you can watch yourself till you're blue in the face, YouTube videos on the whatever topic, and you can become an expert off of free YouTube videos.
You know, the other cool thing in our community, Isaac, as you well know, is we also have venues where you can just go and hang out and talk to somebody who's from a different age demographic or even ethnic demographic than you, and they're totally in a different space than you are. And just have conversations, learn from them, view the world from their lens. If you haven't been exposed to the rapidly changing, you know, technology in your field or outside your field, hey, get immerse, you know, immerse yourself in it.
Yeah. There's no shortage of opportunities.
Absolutely,
to do that.
Absolutely.
And you just have to do it. You just gotta do it.
Gotta do it. Gotta make it happen. And I think so. So I would say that for me, the ability to at least once a year really, really stretch yourself.
That's good.
Get out there and connect in a way that traditionally you would not have an opportunity to do so. And
it's okay if it feels uncomfortable, because it's okay. It probably should.
It should feel uncomfortable.
Yeah, and that's all right.
And it should feel a little scary.
Yep.
But that's good.
What the hell am I doing here? What's going on here? Yep. No, mm-hmm. Okay, gotcha. All right, so that's perfect. Anybody can do that. Mm-hmm. All right, you at 18 years old. Okay. What would you tell yourself if you could talk to the 18-year-old self?
So if I could go back and talk to 18-year-old Dante, first of all, I'd help
you can't him. Say lotto ticket numbers.
No, I'd help him understand that.
Stuff, no sports betting, anything like that. Got it.
Maybe lay off on the tacos a little in the later years, because it'll come back to haunt you. What I would say is kind of aligned with what I just said. Capture as many experiences as you can, in as many different areas as you can. The 18-year-old version of me, when I was growing up, had limitations as far as economic limitations, and quite frankly, I'm the first generation to go to college, so my parents didn't have any connections to, you know, put me in contact with, and kind of have to start from zero. So that takes a while to build up mentors, mm-hmm. build up
the network, the progression, the whole thing, and so forth.
But if I could go back, I'd tell the 18-year-old version to, you know, connect with as many people as you can.
Say yes.
Say yes.
Say yes more often. At least once.
At least once a week.
Yeah.
Take those scary moments that you might have, just because it's the unknown.
Yep.
And put them in a bag and just keep moving forward. Mm-hmm. I think most younger professionals today are used to a very rapid change in environment, and so which is great.
Absolutely.
But don't let that consume you. You have to really take time to really expose yourself to something and dig a little deeper, mm-hmm. and have at least an experience that you don't know if 10, 20 years from now it's going to come back and really provide a valuable learning opportunity for you. So I look back and...
So like not quantity, like, all right, so take some experiences, yep. do anything just once, but go deep into it.
Kind of have substance to it.
Yeah, so that is, you know, that
substance
is
to it.
A very big challenge in our society now.
So right now we can go online and the young ones can just look at everything and know it all, right?
Because
information is everywhere.
But they're not immersed in it.
They're not immersed in it. So I'd say don't be afraid to immerse yourself. And if... You know, if it isn't, I mean, if you like to drink a pint here or there, hey, get back in the brewery tanks back there and for a day or two and try it out.
Yeah, try it out.
You know, dink around with it. If you enjoy, you know, whatever your passion is, you know, dive in deeper. Find out, you know, well, what does it take to make this or to make the product or service that I so love to consume? Because you might find an opportunity there as well.
Yeah.
To bring something to the table.
Or you're going to use it at some point in time. And it just goes, I'm 34. And, you know, people will tell you you're still obviously relatively young. But I can tell you it's moved a little faster than I thought I was going to, right? So that taking that time out, being able to have the time to document this or be able to spend time back there, it's very easy to say that I'm too busy.
Yeah.
Or I got too much stuff going on. And I punted many things that I probably... You know, go back and like, what's the downside of me taking an hour and goofing around back there? Yeah. You know, and who knows what? But no, that's cool. I mean, I think at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, you don't want a big laundry list when you're too old and tired to be able to do anything else, and you actually do have physical and health limitations, mm-hmm. where you can't do it. You don't want that list to be too big.
Mm-hmm. I'd say you know, when I was 18. I did have somebody communicate something to me that I tried to really live by, and that is make sure you're really enjoying whatever it is you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not, push yourself to find something that is
enjoyable.
Enjoyable.
Yep.
And so that's also, of course, something that that I think we all need to do our best to live by. Whether that's your career, whether that's on the personal end, if that's on your, if you're earning your career and you find yourself not enjoying whatever it is you're doing or not enjoying it every single day, and you don't find the purpose behind it, talk to folks, look around,
sure.
Connect with people around you and kind of find out what moves them and if
the network part.
The network is key. For younger professionals, especially young professionals of color, minorities, mm-hmm. There's not a lot of other minority professionals out there.
Okay, so maybe I don't feel like mm-hmm. I have a whole lot of places to go.
Absolutely.
But I'm interested. Yeah. I'm 17 years old. I'm 19 years old. I'm 21 years old. I don't know what the heck to do, but I'm determined to better my family, my lineage, my love. I'm making a next move. Yeah. Where can I go in the city? Like, give me a few places where I can go in the city, because I don't know.
So the cool thing is that we do have great opportunities. For example, we have Start Garden.
Okay, absolutely.
That it's not just for entrepreneurs. It's anybody who wants to be in the crosshairs of people doing stuff here in this town.
And then we know a few people down mm-hmm. there, right? You walk in that front door and you walk up there and you say, hey, this is who I am and this is what I'm passionate about mm-hmm. and I'd love to learn this. Yeah. Can you just please point me in the right direction?
Yep, that's it.
You speak, walk in, say your name, speak from your heart, and I guarantee you they will point you in the right direction.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's all you have to do. You don't have to speak. You don't have to, like, this is who I am. This is that passion, that why, that first P, your patent and process mm-hmm. there, that needs to come out. You can do that Start Garden. Where else?
The Grand Rapids Chamber.
Okay.
We're about connecting people with opportunities.
Sure.
There's a lot of potential mentors that
absolutely.
You can get at the chamber. A lot of potential business partners, and if you're looking to be in the entrepreneur space, go where the entrepreneurs are, right?
Sure. Yep.
The Hispanic Chamber of Commerce.
Hispanic Chamber of Commerce.
There's a pretty cool organization in town called Spring GR.
Okay.
That is taking entrepreneurs who want to do it at a very micro level,
okay.
maybe a part-time little business that you want to start. Mm-hmm. Hey, there's a place for everything, right? The opportunity I think that we have in this town is that we want everyone to succeed, okay? And everybody's definition of success is a little different, and everyone's definition of success requires some different ingredient. That's okay. Let us help you figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
Let us help you connect with folks. Let us help you get you on your way to learning how to be successful. This is an unfortunate statistic, but there's only a handful of, for example, there's only a handful of Latino business professionals working downtown, right? But that's also good news. Now we have a handful of Latino business professionals working downtown. So, like, last
more
week,
of an issue of a zero.
Exactly. Yeah. So that means, and this has happened in the last year or two, right? So that means that next year we'll have a dozen, and the following year probably two dozen, and that's great. That's the great news. So don't be afraid to reach out to any of us, and somebody doesn't necessarily have to be a professional of color to be a support if you are a minority younger professional. It doesn't. Many of my mentors have not been Latino mentors. Okay, but there've been individuals that recognize somebody needs access to resources, to connections, to learning opportunities, and they're able to bring you along as they move forward as well.
Sure.
And that's what we all want to do. We just want to bring everybody along as well.
Absolutely. So if there's somebody listening that somebody sees this that's shy, mm-hmm. has fear towards this, very easy, a little scared, a little normal, and maybe, oh man, I would love to have such and such be a mentor, or mm-hmm. who you're talking about, or reach out, or maybe one of those Latino mentors. I promise you, I just had this conversation with somebody else the other day. I promise you, just simply reach out, offer to buy him a coffee, and please tell me your story.
Yeah.
Okay? Absolutely. If you need $6 to buy you both a coffee, yeah. Sell something in the house on eBay. Okay, collect the money from there.
Get the $6.
Take the bus down there. Get $6. Bike. I don't care. Figure out. Do it. If the person's worth their salt and knows what you're doing at length and the audacity you have just to set up a meeting with them, they probably won't let you pay for the coffee anyway. Yeah. But I can tell you that, gosh, it's just, I've read so many books based on my mentors and people that I've done so many different things based on that. I've purchased courses. We spend a fair amount on education in our company. I mean, it's a solid five-figure number every year we spend on education.
Wow.
So that never stops. But I still, you know, with being in business for a while, I still go back to my head, like doing all that stuff. Mm-hmm. My mentors, like I'll bring something up, and they tell me something that I didn't think of, or some way that is literally like messed up. Like I'm like, what are you even talking about? But then like 3 years go by, 2 years go by, and I'm like,
that was it.
Do you know why? Because they saw that movie 30 years before you did. You know, they're on version 17, and you're still reading the first chapter, right?
You know, and the cool thing is when they're able to tell you. When they don't just tell you, you know, do this or that, when they tell you, listen, when I was in similar shoes, this is what I did and this is how it panned out.
Yeah, it's
so
real stuff.
So they're giving you the benefit of their success and failures.
Yes.
That you bring that to the equation and you're like, okay, let me have a better answer, right?
So I was so many times I was challenged by this. I'm like, oh, I don't know about that. I'm like, I trust my intuition, whatever, and maybe I have to put my own wrinkle on what the person has said. And that's true. Put your own little wrinkle on it. Mm-hmm. But I went back and I'm like, there's a reason I don't understand now. Because that person has X, Y, Z, does this, has what I'm going for, already has it.
Yeah.
Has zero interest in putting me on the wrong path.
Yeah.
So I have to take a leap of faith, you know.
Absolutely.
You know, because at the end of the day, there's people that come out there, and if you do it right, you build quality relationships, and you really try to really be a good person and create a friendship with them. They actually, you might find people that are vicariously living through you a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, they're champions.
They remember being you. And to tell you the truth, just somebody to knock on their door and relive the glory years of what they did is a godsend. So when you talk about people, we talked about the passion in the entrepreneur or anything that you want to do, whether it's an entrepreneur or something else. We talked about. You know, if you're going to sell something or if you need it to monetize, they need to be able to pay for it. But three, when you talk about people, you're talking about not only staff, you're talking about a mentor group around
mentors. We're talking about those individuals that bring some type of awareness to you.
Sure.
That you're
a different perspective.
A different perspective. Yep. And that can share their experiences and their successes and failures. To me, a mentor is that individual that can open up and share their path and how that can influence my path as well.
Gotcha.
And that's powerful, Isaac. That's very powerful.
Gotcha.
I come from a family. My parents did not go past the sixth grade in Mexico. They did not read or write English. However, I was very fortunate enough to be put in the crosshairs of certain individuals that did share share their successes and failures. And I was so fortunate enough to come in contact with them that's really made the difference in my life.
Mm-hmm.
If not, I'd still be doing farm work.
Who knows? You don't know where you'd be, but that's awesome.
Yep.
Awesome. Dante, thank you so much. That's great stuff.
Well, thank you.
I hope hopefully people learned a few things from there. We have one more super serious question, all right? If I want to go get said taco in Grand Rapids, where should I go first?
So, if you want some of the best tacos, make sure it starts with the name Taqueria.
Okay.
Because that's a true taco.
Sure.
And we're very fortunate that here in downtown or close to downtown, we have some of the best. Tacos El Cuñado.
Okay.
Tacos El Cuñado is on Bridge Street. You take Bridge Street west. And towards the end of Bridge Street, on the left hand side, Tacos El Cuñado, one of the best taquerias here in town. So don't miss out.
Right, man. Perfect. Perfect. Yep. We'll have to find that one. We'll have to find one. What time do they open?
Anytime.
Okay. Dante, thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, man. Appreciate Episode 9, Hops of Handshakes. Make sure to follow along with Dante, what he's doing. He's a very, not only a great person, but a great ambassador here in our city as we continue to grow our entrepreneurship base, which is already pretty strong, but even getting better, which is awesome. But anyway, thanks so much. And that is a wrap here from City Built Brewing.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.